We're gathered here to celebrate a remarkable moment in the history of the universe. That's all right. Before we do anything else, we need to do the most important thing and ask God to help us understand His Word. Let's pray. Father, we again are gathered here. This place, in order to serve you, to honor you, to lift you high, to learn about you. Tonight, Jesus, we ask that you would be lifted up, that your coming would be understood in a very real way, and that the things that are said here would not pass by lightly, but that your Spirit would work in our hearts long after this day goes on. We need your help now. We give ourselves to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by reading some verses in John. John chapter 1, traditionally, when we talk about Christmas, the first chapter of John isn't the first thing that comes to our mind, but I think it's an important place for us to look, nevertheless. John starts his gospel with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning was the Word. John is referring to who or what? Jesus, right? Jesus, in the very beginning of John, is called the Word. So what does that mean? Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Philosophers throughout history have argued about this. There is an early Christian tradition that believes the Word denotes an all-pervading reason. The Word is some kind of reason. Reason as in logic, almost. So in the beginning was logic. And the logic was with God, and the logic was God. There's a Jewish understanding that was mixed with the Roman world that believed that this word, the word "word," was derived from an Iranian Gnostic concept, where there was like this hidden knowledge, and the Jews during the day, mixed with their philosophical surroundings, would see this as God's hidden mysteries. Then there were those that would strictly hold only to the concept of the Word in the Hebrew Bible. That would be the Old Testament. Others would take it and mix it with the modern first century Jewish concepts, period. So if you're familiar with the Pharisees, that would be they would be your source for understanding the Word. Others try to understand the Word only strictly speaking through the book of John only itself, period. So now, you got to choose which you want to decide, and then we'll understand what the word means and all that. So does anybody want to make a decision? The truth is, there is so much speculation through the years about the word, this concept, the word in the book of John. There's so much speculation about a lot of things. In fact, you go around and you talk with people, and if you were to ask them, hello, how are you doing? Why are you not a Christian? Or what do you find a problem with in Christianity? What's the problem with Christians? What's the problem with Jesus? What's the issue? You might get answers like this. I think Jesus was a godly man, but I do not believe he rose from the dead. I believe there was a man named Jesus who died on the cross, but I don't think he rose from the dead. I think he had some radical followers, and in the end, you know, they spread this news that they saw him raised, and that was the beginning of the church. You have others that would say, well, there's lots of Jesuses that were crucified. So somebody, 200 years after the fact, picked a Jesus and decided they're going to invent a story about this, and that's just ridiculous because we have things from that day. But then you have some people say, some of the more learned, if you will, you won't find this in a lot of circles, but in many of the college scene, the professor might say, well, you call yourself a Christian? What are you being saved from? And how is it that you are being saved? Jesus dies on a cross? How does that save you? Even if you were to rise from the dead, how does that save you? There are major problems. You would get this at the pulpit in the classroom. There are major problems with the atonement. It doesn't make sense logically. Or others, and this is very prevalent in our hearts, I think, today in many homes, the virgin birth. Yeah, right. I mean, seriously? Virgin birth. Jesus was born. Mary, really? Come on. Seriously? Really? I think every non-Christian would say what about the virgin birth? That isn't true. And I think there are a lot of Christians that sit and you really think about it and some doubt might come to your mind, right? Was it really? Or is that not a major part that we need to focus on? I mean, because maybe it's all true except that, you know? Or you have this. There was a guy named Jesus. He was moral. But he did not walk around performing miracles. He was a magnificent preacher. A very good communicator. In fact, he was probably the greatest rabbi that ever lived. However, he didn't perform miracles. Those were invented after the fact. I think every non-Christian would agree with that statement, right? And I think in some churches there are some Christians that would say, no, he's a good moral teacher and he taught us how we get salvation, but I don't think he really, you know, he was probably very sly and quick. And so there's a lot of challenges for the Christian. The gospel itself has some challenges. I mean, really, you call yourself a Christian and you believe in some guy that died? All those are difficult questions. All those are difficult questions. However, I want to bring your attention to John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen the glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. When I was There are some of you that might have heard this story before, but when I was in high school, it was spring break, and I decided I'm going to go camping with my friends. You know what? It's my senior year. I've never gone camping with just some friends. We're going camping. So we had no idea what we were doing. Usually I go with my dad. He takes care of things, and you know, I'm just the backpack grunt man, and he's leading the way. He's got the compass and all that, but I'm like, let's go camping without him. So I ask him, you mind if I go camping with these three guys, and can we use your truck? Well, he was gracious, and he let us do that. So we load up the truck, get everything loaded in. It was an extended cab, so my two friends were behind me, and I was driving, and I had a friend next to me. We're driving along, and I actually don't even know where I'm going. My buddy is supposed to be telling us where we're going. And we're driving, and it's about that time in the trip where everybody's dozing off. And the radio's on really lowly, but it's on, and you can hear it. And the driver's listening, but everybody else is kind of going out, right? You've been there? So I'm going along, and I look up ahead. And up ahead of us is a garbage truck. And I take notice of it because all this smoke is coming up. And there's so I appear to see a garbage truck dropping garbage. So I'm thinking, and there's no cars in between us, but this is a ways off. So I'm tuned in looking at it. Then I realized it's not a garbage truck dropping garbage. Forgive me, Bob, wherever you are. Where's Bob Newman? There's a truck dragging a horse. So I scream, horse! And everybody in the car wakes up, and I'm like, you know, and your heart is going crazy, and my adrenaline is going, and there's this, did I scare you? And I was scared out of my mind. And by that time, the horse had broken free and stood up, and I realized, oh my gosh, it's not a horse, it's a cow! Sorry, Dale. And now we're getting really close, and the thing is standing in the road, but the guy is still driving. And my friends now they're awakened, and they're looking, and there's this cow standing, and I'm stopped, and that guy's going, and I'm freaking out because I've never seen anything like that in my life. But this guy, hold it, he's still driving, and another cow falls out of his truck. No joke. And I'm stopped. And there's another cow standing in the road like this. And he keeps going. And then another cow falls out of the truck. It was like they were perfectly lined up. Seriously. It was like every 10 seconds, a cow would jump out of the truck. So I decide my heart is going. I'm going to be a hero. That guy is driving. He doesn't know he's dropping cows. So I'm going to be a hero, and I hit the gas, and I start slaloming these cows. Altogether, there were four cows that had fallen out of this truck. I'm going just under the speed limit, but going very... approaching the speed limit, and my friend, as we're catching up to the truck quickly, and my friend turns to me, he goes, this guy's nuts, his name is Matt, he is the calmest individual you'll ever meet if you meet him, someday you might, I think you should, he's a good guy, he turns to me, he just leans over, he goes, Tony, did you ever think there might be other cows in the truck? As we're approaching the thing, and as he's saying it, the door swings open, and there's two cows left in the truck, and the one furthest back is pushing the other one up to the front. There's this long gap, but they're both of their faces are like this, and the door swings shut, and it swings back open, and they're like, and I, so I'm honking my horn, swerving, and finally this guy pulls over. There's nobody coming behind us, so I figure I don't have an issue being on the road right now. So I pull up right next to him on the road. He's on the side of the road, and my friend Matt, the calm one, he says, "Don't worry, Tony, I'll take care of it." I'm like, "Okay." So that's exactly how I sounded too. And my friend Matt rolls the window down. This guy, he still has his car in drive. He looks at us. He's mad. He's got a John Deere hat on. And seriously, I think he had leather skin. because he, I don't know, he's, it was, and one tooth and a cigarette burned down past the butt. He's looking at us. It's hanging out of his mouth. He's looking at us like, what are you kids doing? And I, before my friend Matt could say anything, I just scream, you're dropping cows! And my friend Matt goes, yes, sir, you dropped a few cows back. So he puts his car in park. He just still doesn't believe us. He puts his car in park. He gets out, kind of, and he walks to the back, and you can see when he discovers, oh my, and he slams that door shut, locks it, throws his cigarette down, walks back to the truck, doesn't say another word to us. No, he said one thing. When I screamed, you're dropping cows, he goes, I'm not joking, this is burned into my memory. He takes his cigarette out, he goes, you're kidding. Puts it back in. Puts the cigarette back in, puts it in park. When he realizes, he starts cussing, he throws his cigarette down, he comes back, doesn't say another word to us, and just puts it in drive, does this big U-turn, and I'm sitting there in the middle of the road with my friends, and we are just blown away by that experience. What just happened? He's gone. We're facing this way. How do you go camping after that? I mean, what? And that's the truth. After that, you know, the whole camping trip was just lined with, you know, fresh ground beef and anything you can think of that had to do with, they were milking cows, Dale, too, so I think you like that. Yeah. And just so everybody knows, children, they were all standing at the end of the day, yeah. At the end of that moment that they, and, but, so the rest of the camping trip, my mind is completely, I don't remember the camping trip, but I remember that. My mind was altered for weeks, for years, actually. When I got to Trinity, Julia will attest to this, I was the guy that told the cow story. Everybody knew me as that guy. And I'd go to these things and somebody would say, you got to tell the cow story. And I'd say, don't call it that. You ruin it. It's about a horse. So, but it altered. No, really, my mind, it was completely. So from that moment on, I think back to those days. I think back to car rides. And you think about car rides. That's the thing that comes to my mind. It completely altered my mind. Now, things have faded since then. And I'm not totally fixated on dropping cows or anything like that. But when I see a cow, it's comical. And here we sit. We want to celebrate Christmas. And we're talking about Jesus Christ coming to earth as a baby. The cow thing is one thing. This is a mind-altering moment in history. Jesus Christ come to earth. The world has been altered forever. Forever. And we talked briefly about the problems that Christianity faces, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Those other problems, those other questions that we posed at the beginning about the atonement, about the resurrection, about the virgin birth, about the miracles, all that stuff, none of that matters. When you realize God became man. Think about that for a second. I want everybody just think about that. God became man. We're not talking about presence here tonight. We're talking about God became man. You say, big deal. If you come to the place where you say, I believe God became man, then what do you think about the virgin birth? Do you think it's possible? What about the resurrection? All that disappears. So the fundamental problem people have with Christianity is not the resurrection, is not miracles, is not the atonement. The real problem people have with Christianity is God became man. No, that's not it. Because if you were to believe that, none of the other things there wouldn't be an issue. I have no problem believing Jesus rose from the dead if he was God. I have no problem believing that he would take Lazarus and rise him from the dead. He's God. And that's not an issue. He's God. That's the issue. That's what Christmas is about. But it's bigger than that. Jesus is God. If there's anything you're going to walk out of here remembering from this message or whatever, it's that Jesus is God. Remember that. Jesus is God. Say, well, I know that, but do you know it? The Almighty God appeared in earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and wriggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed, unable to do anything on his own. You know, we just had this little girl, and she's wonderful. But it is a vivid reminder to me that my God, and let me tell you, Jesus in a manger is God himself, but it is no, like, mirrors and bells and whistles, like, you know, it just looks like he's a baby, but he's still God. No, 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 you don't understand. God allowed himself to be helpless. It's real. It wasn't like we're just going to stage it. No. God actually allowed himself to be able to do nothing except poop and pee and cry and sleep. That's remarkable. The incarnation, the God-man, is the greatest thought the history of the world will ever know. It is the greatest event the history of the world will ever know, that God would become man. I think in Protestant churches and Catholic churches and Lutheran churches, we focus a lot on the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and rightly so, but we don't focus on the fact that Jesus was actually God. The man who walked the earth was God himself. That is remarkable. The baby, the 12-year-old in the temple, the baby growing inside, he wasn't even able to make a sound. He was God himself. The baby, the Son of God, was a reality. Nothing, one writer put it this way, nothing in fiction is so fantastic as the truth of the incarnation. It is so unbelievable. Has this altered your thinking, this event, that God would become man? Has there been a moment in your life where you come to the realization, my God, you gave up? For what? And the answer is, he gave it up to die. What? Colossians chapter 3 is my very favorite few verses. Paul says, if you've been raised up with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. If there was ever a thought that is on things above, it's the concept of the incarnation. Jesus Christ was actually God himself here on earth, physical. Now, I have been praying about this and thinking this through and wondering, God, how in the world am I going to communicate the fact that you actually became a man and have them understand the deep conviction that I have that this is absolutely the most profound truth in all history. And all I can do is just say it, God actually became man. And Holy Spirit, you got to take this because it is... But if we could grasp that, if we could really understand it, if you could get that concept as something that you focus on daily, you became man. All the other things would disappear, you know? It would just go away. Well, do I have salvation? My God became man? He's able to bring salvation to me. Did he really rise from the dead? Yeah. My God rose from the dead. That's not a hard concept. It's easy for us to think about Jesus as a man. No one has a problem doing that. Christian, non-Christian, it's easy. What's difficult is to get this. But this is where it is. This is what it's all about. And when you have that moment, he actually became man, your mind is altered forever. Forever. It's changed. And you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord? Well, duh, he's God. Right? I believe that he rose from the dead. Absolutely, he's God. All that falls into place. My life has been altered because my God became a human being, lived on this earth in a manger of all places. With all the hustle and bustle of the season, Jesus, you know, Christmas. Jesus was born. No, you don't understand. It's not just flippant like that. We can't be flippant. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, was born on the earth. And yet he was the Word who always was. He was with God. He was God. He is God today, even as a baby. How does that work? Now, this is the stuff of heavenly things. This is where our minds ought to rest. I want to challenge each of you. Christian, you're sitting in this room. I want to challenge you for the rest of the year. Just a little while. I want you to just think about that concept that God actually became man. For the rest of the year, that be that your aim. Focus on that concept. And I suggest to you, as you focus on that, you'll find concepts like when Paul says, pray without ceasing, that becomes easy because you're thinking about these things and you find yourself just praying to the Lord. God. And for those in here who say, you know what, I haven't come to that place, I'm not quite sure. Jesus was, you know, this is really a big thing. It is a big thing. I want to invite you today to take a step of faith where you say, you know what? I want to confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I want to confess by faith, I don't know how this is possible, but Jesus is God in the flesh. He came to this earth, died for my sins, and rose again. I want to confess that this evening. Well, we're going to take a moment and pray. And if you would like to do that, we're going to pray together. Christians, if you're in this room, I want you to be praying over these prayers. So let's go to the Lord together. Jesus, we come before you, God of God, We ask that this concept would sink into our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to those who are being prompted now by your Spirit to take this step where they confess you as Lord, as the real Lord, God, and man. If you would like to do that, just pray this. Jesus, I confess right now that you are my Lord. You came to this earth as God. You lived as a man, and you died on a cross to bear my sin. I confess to you that I have sinned. I lay it before your cross, but I know I can trust you because you're my God. I pray that you would help me to live a life that pleases you. I praise you that you are alive today, and with your life you have given me life. We lay this at your feet. We trust you because you are able. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please don't leave here without talking to somebody that you know is a follower of Jesus Christ the God. Tell them you did that. If you prayed that prayer, take a Bible. Christians, again, let me encourage you, this concept of Jesus being God, may this be the thing that rings in your ears, but far beyond the new year. It's a life-altering realization. Then when you come to those crossroads where you say, well, I'm going to pray this, but I don't really know if God can do this. What? I don't really know if Jesus can take care of this. No. Those thoughts disappear because Jesus is God of God. We're gonna take a moment to respond. And we're doing it in a way that many of us know. We're going to respond by taking communion together. If you believe that Jesus Christ is God himself, he came to this earth as a child, genuinely as a child, unable to do anything, gave it all up, and you believe he died for your sins, this is your invitation to come and take. And when we eat the bread together, it's a memorial of Jesus Christ's torn body on the cross. And the drink is a memorial of his blood that was poured out for us. And when we take it, it's important that we do this so we don't forget what he did, because it's easy. Even tomorrow you may forget about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that he was God. God himself was crucified. That's why we take communion. Don't forget it. And the life that we get through food represents the life we have in Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. And so let's take it. But I want to challenge you, please, before you come forward, I want you to reflect in your heart before the Lord. Confess your sins before him, just privately between you and him. And he's able to take those things away, and we can go together before him. Take of the bread and the cup. I want to ask you to form two lines. And come up, take a piece of bread and the cup, and then just go back around to your seat this way and this way, if you would. But do it as the Spirit leads. Not under compulsion. If you feel like, I don't really feel like I should take this, that's good. Take the time to talk to God about it. Nobody's going to judge you. For in taking this, we are not earning salvation. While we do that, we're going to be playing some songs and praying together. Let's just bow our heads and quietly pray. And as you feel led, please come on up and take the bread and the cup. Anyway, let's pray and then celebrate Jesus' birth with some cake and ice cream. Jesus, thank you so much for doing what we could not do. You are God. You've accomplished everything for us. So we thank you for that. And I know that my words have fallen short, but your Holy Spirit can pull it together. And so we thank you for that. We give you ourselves. We ask that you would help us to meditate on the idea that you are God in the flesh. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are loved.
That's how you are.